Greetings to each one in the name of the Lord Jesus. Good to feel a little more complete again as a ministry with our beloved Livey family back home with us. Welcome to all the Liveys. We missed you very much. And blessings to all the rest of you who are visiting this morning from near or far, wherever you come from. God bless you for coming our way this morning. Let us turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verse 74 and 75 for our beginning text here this morning. This is the prophecy of Zacharias. Zacharias, as you know, was the father of John the Baptist. And he was dumb and could not speak for a season until he named his son John. And after that, the Lord opened his mouth and he was able to speak. And when he spoke a very clear and interesting and profound prophecy. That prophecy is recorded in Luke chapter 1. And there's many things could be said over the things that he prophesied, but I want to especially capitalize this morning on verse 74 and 75 for our message here today. John said, or Zacharias said, that he would grant unto us, speaking of the Lord, that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And then may we also look at Isaiah 54, 13 and 14. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Now this is spoken to Israel in its primary fulfillment of prophecy. Is spoken, I believe, to the nation of Israel and their glorious return when they will be brought back to the Lord. But I don't know, the top note on my Bible here says the church's safety, and I realize that a secondary fulfillment of this prophecy is also spoken to us. And the word terror and terrorist is in our language and in our papers and in our vocabulary today because we have been inundated with terrorism and the blessing in the last years here, last few years, 4 or 5 years especially, but probably the last decade or so. And here is the promise that thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror it shall not come near thee. It is the heart of God that we be not fearful of terror and terrorism and all those things, even though there's a lot of it in the world. But God has given the virtue of peace. Peace is a virtue of conversion. When we are converted, we are able to embrace the virtue of peace, deep settled peace that settles upon the heart of every person who is born again, because they are able to put their trust and confidence in God and to rely upon Him For whatever is present, whatever is future, the past is forgiven and washed clean by the blood of Jesus. And we are to be the most peaceful people on the face of the earth. That's the heart of God. That's the will of God. And it is essential in our day that we lift up this great virtue. I believe that we can be free from fear and from terror and anxiety and all of those things that are so prevalent in the world. I want to also refer to 1 John. Beautiful verse there that I've appreciated over the years and has been quoted often. 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Very clear teaching that our brother John gives through the anointing of the Spirit of God to show us that fear and faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus do not go together. But rather fear has anxiety and misery and torment also. And then I also wanted to remind you that in Luke, I'm not going to turn to this, in Luke chapter 21, on the scripture there on the end times, we have the verse that says, men's hearts failing them for fear of these things. It goes down to the list and talks about all kinds of things happening and the waves and the seas roaring and men having heart attacks and all of that. But men's hearts will fail because of fear of these things. So in the end times, because men have no hope in God, and men have not put their confidence and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and their future is totally unknown to them. They don't know where they're going, and they don't have any confidence in the future. Therefore, they are terrorized by fear and gripped by fear. Now, I also want to speak a little bit about phobias. The word phobia is in our Webster's dictionary or in our common dictionaries, and there are many phobias. I will not be able to mention all of them, but I would just some of them. I tell you, I can't even pronounce. There are so many of them, but I'll just give you a few of them as we look at this thing. Some members of a psychology class went out and asked 500 people just to make this study, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Those 500 people came back with 7,000 fears. 7,000 fears. We have claustrophobia today, which is the fear of enclosed or tight places. We have acrophobia, the fear of high places. We have anthropophobia, the fear of people. We have bacteriophobia, the fear of bacteria. We have zoophobia, the fear of animals. We have metophobia, the fear of money. We have telephonophobia, the fear of a telephone. We have musophobia, the fear of mice. We have microphobia, the fear of small things. We have neophobia, the fear of new things. We have monophobia, the fear of one thing. And we have pantophobia, the fear of everything. And on we could go. There are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of phobias that people have. And it is an amazing thing that people have these, what we call, hang-ups and fears that they take with them through their life, irregardless of the fact that they're Christians. I have a relative of mine that if a spider would drop down into the room where she would happen to be, she would virtually lose it. There are others that if they would see a mouse, as we have, they virtually lose it, screaming and losing their mind nearly over the sight of a mouse. Such fears men and women have in their lives to such a degree that they are totally incapacitated and unable to handle life in view of the things that so terrorize them. And most of them, a great amount of them, are pure imagination. What can a harmless little spider do dropping on a thin little web that you could go through without even feeling that you hit it? What does that do to you as far as in reality is concerned? Nothing, does it? And that spider, for the most part, the kind that live around here, would never hurt you, never bite you, never even bring a little red dot upon you if it were living in you or crawling on you. Yet, men fear them to the point of incapacitation. Well, that is not the will of God. I'm here to tell you this morning, these phobias are not the will of God. And I believe that it is high time we recognize that we can do something about them. If we have a mindset like that, we are bound by that, we can be free, and the title of my message will be Freedom from Fear. Freedom from Fear. It is a topic of the Word of God that we do not need to be fearful of things. We don't even have to be fear of the catastrophic things that are going to come on the world in the end times. And I'm preparing some messages along that line to speak, I feel led to speak on a few of them in the future here out of Revelation. And I want to tell you that even in spite of the fact that we need to be knowledgeable and understanding what is going on when we sit here and see four hurricanes hitting Florida, you know, in 6 weeks of time, and we see Mount St. Helens rumbling and beginning to erupt again and spewing ash into the atmosphere, and we see all those kind of things, you know, come to pass. This should only bring a understanding of where we're at and what is about to come, and a joy and a confidence that we're about to see our Lord and Savior. And we're going to see a better day. And we're going to see a new day on which, in the world, a world in which will dwell righteousness. And so, I would like to speak on that subject of freedom from fear. Now, I mentioned that peace is a virtue of conversion, but afterwards, sometime after many are converted, in the Christian church, fear sets in again in people's lives. Yet, we have the clear teaching in 1 John there that whosoever is succumbs to this fear and gives the devil a foothold in your heart, in your mind, in your life, to be moved around and manipulated because of fear in your life, you are not made perfect in love if those fears are still in your life. Now, let me also tell you that the Bible speaks about two kinds of fear. There is a good kind and there is a bad kind. There is a fear that is commanded in the Word of God. We have the teaching and the Word of God over from cover to cover on the fear of God. That is used, it's the beginning of wisdom, Solomon says in the book of Proverbs. It is right to have that fear in your life. This kind of fear involves respect, honor, reverence, and a sense of awe. That is a good kind. Thus we are called to fear God. When we live our lives here on earth, We cannot have and should not have a nonchalant, no-care attitude concerning obedience to the Scriptures, concerning obedience to God, concerning a right response to God and the things sacred, the things holy, to things that are right and good. We should have an awe and a respect and a reverence for godly things. One of the main problems of the world today is they fear the wrong thing. They have the thing mixed up. They fear things they shouldn't fear, and they don't fear the things they should fear. We are called upon to fear God, to fear the Word of God, to fear holy men of God, to fear God as being sovereign over all the creation, that we do not interfere with the sovereignty of God. Neither do we want to. But when God rules certain ways in our life, to accept that and to just recognize that that's the way God wanted it is a good thing. That's the way I try to live. I had an experience here yesterday that kind of, I don't know, maybe it's something not to think about of God's sovereignty so much. Maybe it's just I'm getting old, or my wife and I, and we're getting forgetful. But we had a nephew that was scheduled to get married, and we had our ticket spot, and we were planning to go to this wedding in Kansas next Friday. It was the wedding, and I got a phone call from Missouri last night, and this brother said, "Well, how was the wedding?" I said, "What wedding? We didn't go yet. It's next Friday." Well, he said, "The people around here went to the wedding yesterday." And so I had to check real quick, and the invitation was still hanging on the door, and sure enough, the wedding was yesterday. And it's all over, and we didn't get to go, and all that, and I had to just stop and say, "Lord, there must have been..." I normally do not forget those kind of dates. I have them, we have them marked on the calendar hanging on our door because of the many appointments we have, but we marked that one on the wrong date, and we missed it. And I don't mind so much missing that one, but I don't want to miss the one that's to come, the wedding of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was a lesson to me. But we submit ourselves to the sovereignty of God, that it must not have been God's will that I go to that wedding. And so, you know, we accept that. But there is a good kind of fear that way, that if God moves sovereignly in our lives, we say, "Amen, Lord, you're sovereign, you know, must know, you desired that way, and you led that way, and we accept it," instead of getting all upset over that and not having the honor and the reverence and the sense of awe as God leads us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we have another statement by Solomon that speaks about the fear of God being the whole duty of man. There, verse 13, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So that is the good kind of fear. We are to fear, honor, reverence, and respect God in heaven. And we also have in Hebrews 11, verse 7, the verse that says, "By faith Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark unto the saving of his house." Notice the fact that our brother Noah, when he was called upon to flee the destruction that was coming upon the world before the flood, he built an ark when God said he was going to destroy the earth. That put a fear, a sense of awe, in a right, in a good way, upon his life, that he moved with fear to save his house, and he started ordering lumber. And he started putting it together to make a boat, because he believed God, that what God said would come, would come. And so he prepared himself, and that is interpreted by that scripture in Hebrews as moving with fear. And all of us need to move with fear to the saving of our souls, our house, our family, and many other things in life, that we should move with fear. And it's that inner sense of awe and respect, because this is God's will that we, woe is us if we do not obey. And that's how Noah figured. I believe he figured that he just thought that, woe is me if I would not obey. God will bring a flood and I'll be swept away in it if I do not obey. And that is the right kind of fear that should be on our lives. This fear leads to holiness and many other good things in life. I think it's very, very essential that we have that kind of fear. But there is a fear, brothers and sisters, that is forbidden by Scripture. It's the fear that is synonymous with dread, with undue alarm, fright, terror, apprehension, perplexity, and distrust. This kind of fear is forbidden. It's forbidden. I mentioned in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, that fear has torment. And I occasionally refer to my experience in my psychiatric ward experience of a year and 4 months in a general hospital in Zanesville, Ohio, back in the 1960s. But it was an experience that I am very, very glad for. Even though I did not agree with the treatment forms and I did not agree with the counsel of the psychiatrist who made his rounds there a couple of times a week and gave his counsel. He was a godless man, I believe an Italian doctor, which was the psychiatrist of that floor. But I learned a lot of things in seeing the general problems of humanity and how people are gripped with fear to the point where they are constantly on medicine just because of the anxieties and the fears they had. And a lot of it, I felt, was due to sins in their life, deep sins that they had never found forgiveness for and had never been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Their past troubled them, and they were gripped by fear of eternity or of death in the condition that they would die that way. So that was a real lesson to me, and one that I often refer to in my thoughts, how I remember those people walking the floor, chain smoking cigarettes and being on alcohol, whatever, to drown out the fears that they had, and then finally ending up in a total basket case in a psychiatric ward because of the fears that they would have. Old ladies and old men and young people and any age, it didn't matter. It was not exclusive to a certain class of people or a certain race or anything else. People are gripped by fears that drive them to the point where they can't have a job, they can't function, they can't work. Fear is a distressing and painful emotion. Fear comes from guilt. A lot of times fear like this that we're talking about, not all, some is pure imagination, but some fear like this comes from guilt. Let me explain. If you are not breaking the law and you are driving within the speed limit, you can go right through, and I often do this on a highway because I use my cruise control, because I know what the law is and I know where violation and arrests begin, and I can set my cruise control and I can go through speed trap after speed trap. I don't worry. I don't fret about it. Sometimes I release the gas a little or whatever just to make doubly sure, but I have gone through them, dozens of them, and not been caught by them simply because I know that, and there's no guilt going through a speed trap if you're not speeding. But the minute you are, and you go through, you just kind of get a hot flash, you know, and you hope he didn't see you, or you hope he didn't track you and put his radar gun on you or whatever, and there's all kinds of feelings that come up inside of you because we have been guilty. And that's the way it is with many things in life. Fear comes from the fact that we have transgressed and are guilty. And God puts that fear in us because we know that we have done wrong, and therefore we have guilt from it, and that causes it. Fear is a distressing and painful emotion. The fear of God is a high regard, on the other hand, and veneration. Now, I would like to say there is also a right fear. I failed to mention this. I just saw it on my notes now, is that there is a right fear. I don't know how accurate this is, but psychologists would say that we're born with two kinds of fear immediately with birth, and one is the fear of falling, and I forget what the other one is. One is the fear of falling or the fear of danger. I believe that is the fear of noise, yes, a loud noise, and the fear of falling are two fears that we are born with. And like I say, when I saw the picture a time or so of the people running in 9/11 up there in Manhattan Island, you know, when the World Trade Centers were falling, and everybody ran, if I'd have been there, I would have run too. I think it is a self-preservation fear that is right in us, that we fear danger and we run to safety, or we get our water into water over our head and we struggle to get out, and all of those things are a right kind of fear too. There is a preservation of life that I believe is within everyone, that the fact they struggle to save themselves does not mean our hearts are not right with God. God has an inbuilt response to avoiding death and avoiding a premature death, and so therefore we should not be afraid. I mean, we should not think that we are wrong if we try to preserve ourselves and live, save our lives. But then there are also many others who have lived a healthy and a right life, or even on a bed of sickness, are able to come to such a rest, entering into eternity, crossing over the river, that they have laid all fears aside. And men of God have said they don't fear the valley whatsoever. Simply take the hand of God and walk through it. But many people have some twinges of fear there. And that's understandable. That is human, to have some fear of crossing that valley and some apprehension, because it is a dark valley that we must pass through, and that is clear in the Word of God likewise. But if our confidence is in God, we do not have to fear like the world fears. Now, another thing I would like to talk about is there are so many different kinds of fear that I feel that comes upon the Christian church today. One of them that I'd like to speak about is how men bring other men in bondage to themselves by making them afraid. In many religions, in many cults, they operate this way. They bring their people under a grip of fear, that if they don't do thus and thus and don't obey, and if they would ever leave, some terrible thing would happen to them. And many of those things that is done in religion in a wrong way. And it is very important that in the Christian church, in the Christian life, that our people are not afraid of one another. Whether it's brother to brother, brother to minister, or minister to brother or sister, we should not be living in fear of one another. There is a certain amount of fear that comes again from guilt because of living a double life and perhaps being found out, or living a life of hidden sin, that will come to the surface and the church will find it out, and therefore we have people living in fear. But in general, the Christian experience should be ruled by love. It should be ruled by a confidence and a trust of one another and a love one for another to such a degree that there is no fear when the preacher comes to visit or comes to talk to us, or our lives should be an open book, and there should be no secret things that are just waiting to be exposed that then will cause great embarrassment in our lives. But there are preachers that do this all the time. There are some preachers who will actually teach their people that if they do not tithe their 10% of their income to the Lord, they'll make it up in doctor bills and hospital bills. and they put a grip of fear on the people that if you don't give your 10%, you'll probably get sick and you'll probably have an accident and you'll end up in the hospital, and therefore they try to extract that tithe by fear. That's not the way God should operate. Once the church to operate, He loves a cheerful giver. And He wants a willing giver, not under the grip of a curse that will fall upon you because you haven't given the right amount. There's more fear in some churches, I believe, than there is in the world, even as I see it, or in some religion. You know, I have to think of the how some folks read their Bible out of fear of what would happen to them if they don't. You know, they have their devotions simply because someone has taught them that if they don't have their devotions, that something bad might happen to them that day. And they would not prosper. God has not put us under such a legalistic grip. I think we need to understand that the Word of God should be a love letter from God to us. And there should be a fervent desire on our part to read it, and to have a devotion in a regular way that way, because we want to saturate our lives by the written Word of God and by prayer and a time spent with God, because we love Him and we know He loved us, and therefore we are returning in thanksgiving and blessing and honor unto God and by spending time with Him, but not under the grip of punishment. Once again, we're putting God up there with a big stick over our lives, and if you don't do it just every day, I'm going to hit you with a stick. That is not the way God works in those things, and we should not succumb to that. There are ministers even that I have known already who have put their congregations under a fear of them ever saying a negative word about them. They will give you story after story of what happened to the people who spoke out against their leader or against their minister, how they got cancer maybe, or how they died an early death because they spoke out against the minister. And therefore, again, bring their people under such a grip of fear. I remember picking up some pieces of a situation like that in the state of Ohio a number of years ago, where people were so inundated by or so affected by fear because of the minister constantly having done that to them, that they were almost a basket case. They were so beset with fears. Now, I had to think also of the life in the slave world. You know, here in Lancaster County, we have what is known as the Underground Railroad. I don't know if you've ever picked up the books and read about that, but there are a number of houses that are still marked today that marked very clearly the passageway for slaves to come from the South on their way to Canada to escape during slavery, when they were taught by each other in the South that if they ever should escape, they should follow the North Star and head for Canada. And these men and women and young people sometimes would hide by day and then flee by night, and then they would make contact somehow with people who would help them and assist them through what is known as the Underground Railroad, and they would bring them into a house in the middle of the night and hide them behind false walls down in the basement that looked like a fireplace maybe, and back behind there was a room, and they would have 15 or 20 slaves. They're down there in Georgetown, in Christiana here in Lancaster County, in Oxford, and various places at Glen. Yeah, some of those places still exist, and you can tour them, where they had these secret hideaways for slaves. But what is so interesting was, and they had bounty hunters loose up here, even though we were in the North and were not in slavery here in the state of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania was beset with bounty hunters, and they would try to find these runaway slaves heading for Canada, intercept them and catch them and shackle them again and take them south and either resell them on the market or find their former owner and got a good reward for bringing the slave back. But these slaves, they wanted freedom, and freedom was across the Niagara River in Canada, especially those coming through Pennsylvania. If they could find a boat across Niagara River And they knew that they were out of distance in another country, away from the bounty hunter that would catch them, take them back. They would then be able to throw their hands in the air and be declared totally free. They could go get a job, hire themselves out, do whatever they wanted to, build their own houses, and start life in a free country. And when you read those stories, you see how those people were so gripped by fear and so trained in the tactics of fear and all the things that it made them do. You know, stand in swamps with water up to their neck, you know, for fear of being detected, and sometimes dogs on their trails and all those things. But when they crossed into Canada, they were free. They were free from that fear, and they could live a normal life. That, to me, is what should happen when we become a Christian, when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and realize the promises that are in the Word of God, that God has not appointed us to fear, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And there is no fear in love. And when we have a perfect love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and our sins are forgiven and the guilt is gone of our past sins, we are not living in sin today, then there is no need to have these fears in our life. And it is like we have crossed the Niagara River. The bounty hunters aren't after us anymore, and we are free in Christ Jesus. God has given us and appointed unto us a life that is free from fear. But there are so many people who cannot reach that yet. They have not been able to see that. They fear sickness. They fear cancer. They fear the dark. They fear rejection. What if the people won't accept me? What if I get rejected? Young men often have that fear if they would ever consider a young lady for marriage. What if she would say no and I have to go through the fear of rejection? And they live with that sometimes for years and will not ask a young lady, even though they would love to be married, because they have such an incredible fear of rejection. I have to think of the fear of cancer. I remember in a church setting that I was in years ago, that there was a lady there. Her mother had died of cancer, and she had a terrible death. She had lived neighbors to us. I remember how she lived, and they would put just a little bit of food. She was in her mouth. She was skin and bones, and give her a little water to drink, and she would just, life ebbed away. And her daughter was in our church at that time, and this was perhaps 15 years later. And she feared that she would have cancer like her mother. And it was so bad that it seemed like she was getting the symptoms that she had that. Somehow or other, it seems she overcome it. She's still alive today, and it's been 25 or perhaps 30 years since that. She still never got cancer, but she was so afraid that she was going to get it that it almost seemed to bring it about, or brought the development or the symptoms to her life because of it. Fear of the dark. Some people are so afraid of the dark and afraid of many, many things that can come into our lives.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part 2 of this message, please press 2 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Everett Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.